He's playing intro music.
Well, good afternoon, good evening, and hello to all of you folks across the country and around the world. You've just tuned in to Grassroots Talks, and I'm your host, Showtime, Dr. L, to some of you folks who have been my patients, and those of you who have not, maybe you need a little bit of work, because we got issues that's going on addressing quality of life, and you need to be a part of it. Remember, I said the whole world's a stage. It's all about what part that you play. Wise man once asked me, what have you done or what will you do that hasn't caused any harm to anybody but will make people remember you for 100 years? Well, I got a young man sitting up here in my studio. And if you know anything about me, I grew up in the 1960s. I had Malcolm X tap me on the head. I saw Martin Luther King do the I Have a Dream speech. I'm going to use that, okay? Do the I Have a Dream speech live on Channel 4 in living color with that little peacock thing coming out. And it moved me, and it probably helped shape me for what I'm doing today. Earlier this morning, you listened to Red Man through our grassroots affiliate channel on 1,000 Mics. He's a project that I'm working on continuing to help him develop into the man that I believe that he not only has the potential of becoming, but the man that he wants to be and the people around him. He's a true leader, and all leaders need somebody to get be ahead of them to help pave the way. And you know, that started when we was on the slave ships. Some of our young people were jumping overboard because they didn't want to come on this ride, looking at all these weird kind of people, hadn't ever been in the ocean. And there were some elders who would reach out and grab them and hold on to them and say, hey, I'm not letting you jump because I don't know where we're going, but we're going to need you when we get there. Well, here's the thing. Y'all probably know I'm getting a little up there in age. I'm 58 years old, don't know about tomorrow, so it's all about what's going to happen today. Not only am I pulling Red Man, but there are other young people out there, too, that I can't take any responsibility other than walking the walk and maybe an image or somebody who has practiced some of the way that maybe I do what we do or my team does, because this young man here, and I'm holding on to the suspense on purpose because this boy is bad, okay? Let me ask you a question. What was you doing when you was 25 years old? Did you even know what color your urine was supposed to be, okay? Well, tell everybody your name.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. I'm Justin Brimmer, and I'm running for City Council of Los Angeles for the 15th Council District.
Did you happen to catch what that young man just said? You running for what?
Los Angeles City Council, the 15th Council District. That's from the bridge to the towers, San Pedro to Watts.
Excuse me, and you are how old?
25 years old.
You know you're supposed to not be doing this for another 25 years?
I understand that's what some of them say, but if you look at the statistics, 60% of our district is under the age of 34. And when we look at what it means to be a leader, I'm a father, I'm a husband, we got a 4-year-old daughter and a son on the way. So when we talk about what's at stake in our future, I have no other choice. When we talked about the state of emergency in our district, 1 out of 4 in poverty, that's not even poor. I'm talking about poverty. We can't wait. This generation and our generation, we need to understand exactly what we need to do. We didn't get to where we are by not being non-political. We got to where we were because we were political. We have to understand the power of our vote and understand that through policy and legislation, we can actually empower our communities. But that's actually all that it can do. The most of it has to be grassroots, people to people, neighbor to neighbor, helping, loving, and also, you know, again, starting those businesses and creating those jobs. And I believe that's what this council race is about. It's extremely critical, November 8th. And again, we're running against some formidable political machines, but I believe this much. I have the ear of the people. I know exactly what the people need, and I am the people that I seek to represent. So I believe it's a new day.
Y'all see what I'm talking about? Okay. Now, he's just getting warmed up. But I want to remind you, there has not been any successful changing of the guard when it really needed to be changed. You can go all the way back to the civil rights era. And the success of the civil rights was not because of Martin Luther King. Hey, may he rest in peace. It was our young people who said, you know what? I have a lot to lose. People said, Well, they didn't have anything to lose, so that's why they did it. No, they had the courage. They were not afraid. And our older folks, people like me, would say, well, I'm not getting ready to lose my good job. Y'all messing it up for everybody else. What a weird way of thinking. Now, you're going up against some formidable people. I'm not even going to name who they are. But there's a reason why there needs to be a change of guard. And let's just hit on that. Give me a prime example of something that's going on right now in your district and how a fresh mind and a fresh approach will make a difference.
Thank you, Dr. Al. I think that's a great point. But before we actually address that, I want to say this. It is a fact. I am 25 years old, but it was no different than when Kenneth Hahn decided to run for city council at the age of 26. It was no different than Alex Padilla at 26 or Roz Wyman at 22. When we talk about the need of a bold, relentless, persistent vision, that is what I have. I said this to a few opponents. If we are old enough to go fight a war in Iraq, then we are old enough to serve our city on city council. We have to understand that you cannot let us know that we're adults sometimes, but then we're not old enough other times. Because, again, you're afraid that I'm running against you. This is a new day. When you talk about looking at how we take a fresh approach, and I'll give one example. When you look at our district, sometimes if you drive by on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays, you'll see a whole slew and a whole plethora of yard sales. To the average eye, they say, oh, they're bringing down our community. But I tell them this. When you look at that family and they have a decision between begging on the corner or a yard sale, which one would you do? And that's something I really think we have to think about, is that they are not exempt from the human condition. However, the fresh approach is, how can we take that yard sale, transfer that into an entrepreneur spirit, and put them on eBay? It's utilizing technology in a way that makes sense for them. And again, that's just one simple approach in terms of just trying to be a leader in terms of technology and bringing back resources and bringing the ideas and the mindset that's necessary to actually really create that or that supplemental income to a job, because they don't understand that they're coming out with a job plan, but we can have 2 to 3 jobs and still be poor. So this is what when I lay out the 4 points, reinvestment in our youth. Why? Because 60% of our district are under the ages of 34. You got 19-year-olds with 2 kids. You got 25, 27-year-olds who have families. And again, that demographic is 4 to 5 times more likely to be unemployed than any other demographic. And when you look at what happens is that when Microsoft, Facebook, MySpace, and all these other corporations decide not to recruit our young people of the 15th council district, other organizations decide to recruit them. You may hear about them. Gangs, drug dealers. They're recruiting that generation. We have to take our young people back. Again, re-strengthening our communities. We have to understand that we don't need more police officers on the street, even though we have to maintain our level. However, we know that the best way that has been proven time after time is community partnerships with police, where it's called community policing. Recommitment to job creation. And again, reclaiming city services. If we don't get a decrease in fees, fines, or taxes, then therefore they don't have a right, or no one has a right, to decrease our services. So in terms of a fresh approach, a lot of times that a lot of people have too many political friends or too many favors to return in order to really be a bold voice or a bold vision for the people they represent. I don't have those connections. I don't have those favors owed. All I am going to do, and all that I guarantee and commit to do, is to be a representative, a champion, and a leader to the very people that I believe need it the most. That is what the Lord said. He said at the end of your time, he's not going to ask, what did you do for the top 1% of your nation? He said, what did you do for the least among you? What did you do for those who couldn't voice and stand up for themselves? That is what's critical in this council district, is that we have a state of emergency, but yet we have people who have the same old ideas that have failed us in the past, trying to come in and call it a new name, wrap it up in a candy wrapper, and call it a new idea, but it's not.
You know, as I'm spellbound by your ability not only to speak but be able to tell the truth. On Grassroots Talks, there is no holds barred, and we know that this is live, but I've noticed you have not flinched. So before I go into letting you folks know where you guys can find it on the website, which is pretty easy, justinbremer.com, I'm going to be giving you a number and an email and all that kind of good stuff. But here's my question for you. Once you get in office, because I believe that this is something that is going to happen for you, what will allow you to not have to be perceived as every other politician? You just said, I don't have those kind of friends. But as you know, once you get there, they're going to come knocking on your door. And so we're talking about integrity now. Can a young person at your age actually possess such a valuable commodity?
Well, I think this is a great question. And the reason why is because I work for a Han legacy, the Han family. If you know, if you go through that boot camp, you'll realize that that is a mandate. Kenneth Han started when he was only 26 years old for city council. And then he was the youngest supervisor, elected to L.A. County and was one of the greatest politicians and leaders that our city has ever known. And he did not, he made sure he built those relationships, but he made sure he stayed connected to the community. One, because he stayed and he lived in the community in which he served in, and that he was committed to it. He was the one, my grandfather has pictures with him. I've never been in a house in Watts or in our district that has not met this man. We have the Blue Line named after him. And I say those things because we have to pay homage to the people who went before us who actually did it right. And I believe he showed an example of what it means. Working for the Han family was, again, that opportunity to get even more insight on what made that man so great. That is how we're going to stay committed, is that you cannot ever forget and deny that it's the very people who elected you that you are accountable to, but it's also the very people who did not elect you that you're accountable to. It's driving the streets. When I was the field deputy in Harbor Gateway, right before I was the legislative and policy deputy for Janice Han, again, I was that same type of person. I was on the streets. I went to more meetings than I had to, but because I believe I had to, I went to the neighborhood watches, the homeowners associations, the neighborhood councils. I had breakfast. I had lunch. I had dinner. I had coffee. I had beer with the very people I sought to understand and to serve, because you know what? You don't understand what a community is unless you hear from the people who live there. So I believe what it is that you have to hold yourself accountable. But more than all of that is that we have to hold ourselves accountable to our higher calling and a higher being. And that is our Lord Jesus Christ and our Lord God. That is why, again, why I'm going out and going and meeting with these churches and the ministers and making sure that, again, we surround ourselves with the very people who can say that's not the best idea or we have a different perspective. Going to the young people who were once shut out of this process, who says, I have a better idea. When you stay committed and connected to the very people you connect, they won't allow you to sell out. When you invite them and give them bus rides to City Hall, they won't allow your vote to be anything other than the very vote that represents the majority of your district. And you have to welcome that and provide the access to that. They are going to be able to text me their idea, Facebook me. They're going to be able to email me, use the same technology that they use today to talk to their boyfriend and girlfriends, to talk to their husband and wives. It's the same technology they can use to connect with their city council member. And that's what we have to commit to. Because again, we are all human at the end of the day. But if we have the right value systems, if we have the right connections, if we have the right people that love us and who are going to speak truth to power and understand that at the end of the day, we are a public servant and we serve our bosses that are 253,000 strong. And if we keep that in mind, I guarantee you and I promise you and I assure you, I will be that council member that will live up to the legacy of a Kenneth Han. I will be that council member that will live up to the legacy of a Martin Luther King, of our President Barack Obama. We have to understand that all politics at the end of the day is local politics. And that you cannot just fix my pothole and leave and think you did a good job.
Speaking of President Obama, we're going to go there in a few minutes, but we're not going to talk about him, but we're going to talk about the type of pressures, because you have obviously a lot of similarities. One, you're coming in young. Two, you're light-skinned it. Okay? But there's a whole lot more to it than that, and we're going to talk about appeasing the mass or the people who are not okay and not popular, because as you notice, President Obama wakes up every day and some people find out something wrong with him, even if it was the side of the bed he got up on, okay? But for those of you who would like to be able to maybe ask a question to our guest, you can dial in at 888-627-6008. I've kind of prolonged this, the jumping into our show, without making sure that I took care of our sponsors. Our show is being brought to you first and foremost by Flashback Institute. What is Flashback Institute? Well, we get young people off of the street. Those that have lived in group homes and foster care agencies that have been abused and neglected, and after the group home owners have made a whole lot of money, and as soon as the child is no longer a paycheck, that child wind up on the street. 60% of those young people wind up perpetrators or victims of crimes. There should be something done about that. Yes, the county does have transitional housing, which is less than 2% of the population that's on the street. So that's just a band-aid to sound good and look good for the media. The reality is flashbacks will put them in an emancipated situation for a minimum of a year, just like a college institution. They'll learn the life skills that they missed. They'll learn a vocational trade, which no other transitional facility has across the country. And then we'll talk about the other part, which is our fabulous dinner theater. You can find us on Facebook at flashbacktheater.com, or excuse me, Flashback Institute. And if you're listening to us on Grassroots Talks, turn to our sponsorship page and take a look at the other folks who support us. They're okay with me not throwing their words out, because you'll find them on there, because the show is not about them and they know it. It's about the work that we do. Speaking of the work that you do, did you just wake up one day with a hair growing and say, I want to be a politician?
No. I went to King Drew Medical Magnet High School on 120th and Compton Avenue. Again, I think being student body president, being the youth commission of Carson at that time, and really getting involved, I graduated with over 500 hours of volunteer service. Again, when you talk...
Wait a minute. You got any more left in you?
When you talk about being committed to the community, it's something that I had no choice to. Going to Berkeley, again, you have no choice but to be political and to be revolutionary in the sense of ideas. So when I went to UC Berkeley, I was also a after-school teacher and a teacher who developed a curriculum for students that they gave up on for Westlake Middle School. Again, I saw what was going on, and I wanted to be a part of the solution. And being there, you saw that your outlook of a community that was voiceless because out of fear or lack of knowledge or lack of empowerment, I then developed my voice. After graduating at the age of 20, I then came back to Southern California. Again, I think when you talk about President Obama and you mentioned that, we have to realize that federal issues are issues that lead us and create a direction. But it's local politics that affect your tomorrow. Oh. And it's local politics that need to correspond with the federal policies and issues. But also, it is local politics that, again, creates the tangible results that we need in our lives.
You know, and this is how most people need to start really understanding how politics works. Yes, it starts actually at a federal level, and just like a reservoir, it trickles its way down to the local level. And the people who run our country started out right where you are. So we look forward to your presidency. However, we've got Davion, who has just decided, I hope I said it right, Devin, who's just called in, and our engineer is trying to get him in. I don't know who he is or what he got to say, but this is live, and you can take it away. Devin, are you here?
Yes, I am, brother. How you doing?
I'm good. Do you have a question or a statement to make to our special host today?
Yes, I was just wondering. My history is... My background is in biomedical engineering, and I have worked really hard to empower the hospitals in the developing countries. I hate to use that term, the Caribbean and Latin America, and also in the developing areas of the United States. And I was wondering if our potential candidate is it has a platform for helping to reopen some of the closed emergency rooms and some of the areas of the hospitals here in Southern California that affect our communities that have been kind of crippled lately, you know, as far as funding is concerned and as far as their facilities are concerned. And if so, then I'd like to offer my support. I have a company called Biometrics Incorporated, a biomedical engineering firm. What we do is healthcare technology management and training of biomed technicians. And so I'd like to offer my full support if that is in the plan.
Wow, that is tremendous. I'm glad that you have called in. Hang on just for a couple more minutes. Don't hang up to listen to the answer unless you got to go, because I believe that our caller, also, our host, may have a question for you. But let me let him address that.
I appreciate okay. The question. There's two hospitals that directly affect and service our district. That is the Martin Luther King Hospital. And as you know, they lost their accreditation a couple of years ago and then gained it back. There's a bold vision that's creating the hospital or recreating the hospital and making it a hub of economic development. But then there's also the Harbor UCLA Hospital right down the way near our Harbor Gateway area. So these are main two hospitals in terms of county hospitals that really service our areas. It is imperative that we understand that LA is not an island on its own, that we have to make sure we build relationships with Torrance, Gardenas, all the way over to Willowbrook and to the county areas in order to really service our people the proper way and bring up the quality of life. It's no benefit to be to have among a lot of have-nots. And I believe that in the sense of creating a quality of life that empowers and uplifts everyone. So I would stand with L.A. County when it's necessary in order to push through legislation, but also making sure that when that project labor agreement was created, that 30% was from the community, making sure that we get our people from the community with a resume and the job training that they need and the interview skills that they need in order to get those jobs. Building up our city so that we can build up minority-owned businesses, women-owned businesses, to be able to get those government and city contracts. Because if you look at us, last year, the city of Los Angeles spent $61 million in acquisition of new cars and vehicles. But yet $61 million was not spent in the city of Los Angeles. It was spent in Orange County and other counties neighboring it. That is unacceptable. And when you talk about, again, when you talk about the new Farmers Field, when you talk about these hospitals, when you look at the economic advisors to Barack Obama, and they said that the healthcare industry is going to be one of the top industries in the next 25 years, our district needs to be on the forefront of that. My wife is a registered nurse by trade. When you look at placing a plan out, how many registered nurses do we need? That's where the city council can go ahead and make that decision. When you look at the Charles Drew University, it's right there in our backyard. How many CNAs can we have? How many LVNs can we have? How many medical or biomedical engineers can we have? Again, when we are creating, in terms of my number one platform, which is this, reinvestment in our youth, we have to get people like you. We have to get the doctors, we have to get the nurses to come back and show our district that it's not that difficult when you really put your mind to it. What we have to do is plant that seed of hope and inspiration, and it's people like you who can do that. And again, it's getting you that platform in which you can do that on a greater scale. Because if you've been successful on the 101, then I guarantee you'll probably be successful on a 105 and a 1010. And we need you at our libraries. We need you at King Drew Medical Magnet High School. And again, when it's time and when it's necessary, we will fight. But when those buildings get built, you cannot deprive the very people who live there who have to deal with the police, the pollution and the traffic. You cannot deprive us of those jobs. So it's standing with the county when necessary. It's standing with the neighboring cities when necessary. But if necessary, we have to stand alone. I will stand alone if it benefits the people of our district.
Outstanding. And for you folks out there, and particularly you, the gentleman who just called in, if you would like to write to Mr. Brimmer, or Councilman Brimmer, let me get used to saying that, you can catch him at
justinbrimmer.com. That's J-U-S-T-I-N. BRIMMER.com. You can find me on Facebook, or you can also email me at Brimmer, B-R-I-M-M-E-R, 4, that's the number 4, CD15 at gmail.com. Again, I check these things myself, and you'll get a response from me, and I would love to hear from you. And if you can, again, go to justinbrimmer.com, and if the Lord has led you to donate 5 to 10 bucks, again, it can help with a yard sign. It can help get our message out there because, again, we are going up against the political machine. But, however, who shows up on November 8th are the voters. And that's what we need to go ahead and make sure ensure that we connect with.
So, Devin, is that how you say it? Devon or Devin? I want to make sure I say it right.
No, it's Devin. Devin Lockett.
Okay. Now, do you have a company or you are just an expert in that field?
Well, both. I'm an expert in the field in my company, BiomedRx Incorporated. I've been teaching medical equipment repair in 28 different countries in the Caribbean and Latin America since the 1990s. And I've helped empower a lot of the hospitals down there, the brothers and sisters in these developing countries, to be able to maintain their own equipment. I understand that the loss of accreditation that happened with Martin Luther King Hospital was largely due to their environment of care not being maintained and them not being able to pass their Joint Commission and inspections. And this is a very important part of keeping a healthcare a facility open. You know, one of the issues that brought down the closing of a lot of our hospitals was the gang violence and the inordinate number of gunshot victims that were coming in and how that was really hurting the care in the emergency room because of senseless violence that basically, you know, frankly, we were doing to ourselves. Now, I'm not really sure about the statistics, but I believe that those statistics have changed, hopefully for the better, and that that's not quite a problem anymore. If it's a matter of training young people to repair medical equipment, this is what I do, this is what I've done for most of my life. And like I said, if this is something that Mr. Brimmer is in support of, then he has my support 100% as far as establishing a training institution here in Southern California for getting people trained to not only repair the medical equipment, but also to provide a proper environment of care for these hospitals to get back on track.
But well,
what
Devin,
I would like to see is for, yes.
I've got a room full of Bible dolls right now, people that are nodding their heads as we have a number of program and youth programs. I've got our earlier host, Redman, salivating because we have some young people who do need to be trained. He's got a professional person behind him who does cable and so forth. And even our special guest, I thought he was a Bible doll, too, because he's really excited about having you join us. And hopefully you've written down his email. But I think he also had a direct question for you. And I don't want to kind of taint it because sometimes my listening skills aren't what they used to be.
Again, I appreciate your expertise and your willingness. And one of the things that I committed to my district and how we're running this campaign is that we don't have to wait until November 8th to be your council member. So we need that training like yesterday. So I would love for you to email me or you can give me your information and we will follow up and try to set something up in the next couple of weeks so that we can, again, we can start
Absolutely.
This now. We cannot wait for any more jobs. We can't wait for them to give it to us.
You can contact me by email at info@devinlockett.com or info@biomedrx. That's biomedrx.com. And biomedrix.com is my website for my company. It's down at the moment. It'll be up in a couple of weeks.
Can you repeat it one more time?
Okay. It's info@biomedrx.com.
Excellent. I want to thank you for joining us here on Grassroots Talks. It's callers like you who pay attention to the sensitive issues that affect quality of life for all of us. The work that you've been doing around the world, just in case somebody forgot to say thank you, I'll say that on behalf of those folks, too, because it's sometimes not all about just the district, although it may start in your house and it expands itself out, but we're in a shrinking world and a changing economy. We hope that you continue to listen to our show for people like Devin and as well as our extraordinary guest that is here on our show. We're going to take a quick break and come right back with you in a few moments. And thank you again for joining us, Devin.
Thank you for your kind words. I really appreciate it.
Our shows are being brought to you by Flashback Institute, where we get young people off of the street and into a safe haven environment, teaching them the vocational trades that they need to compete in today's competitive society, as well as teaching them the life skills that are necessary, especially when you grow up in a group home and all you can think about is that you're not with your family, you've been abused, neglected, raped. I mean, my goodness. You're not really ready when the bell goes off at 18, and you think that, well, why not? Because you're dealing with your stuff, okay? And just because you become 18, that does not make you a man. What happens is you are only going to be a child in the body of an adult. You're not ready. And what happens is we here at Grassroots, we're aware of that, and we are dedicating and have continued to dedicate our life to trying to make a difference. But we cannot do it without you. Please visit us at our website at Flashback Institute on Facebook or flashbackinvestments.com and take a look at who we are, what we're doing, and be a part of making a change. A wise man once said, it would be better to die for something than live for nothing. Yeah, chew on that for a minute. Now, let's move on to this conversation with the most devastating host that we've had. Now, I just got through having somebody take his pictures, not because he light-skinned or nothing like that. It's because he knows his picture is going up there on our wall with some pretty solid individuals, whether they be Oscar winners, nominees, and you got to come into our studio and find out who we got. But he knows he's only going up there if he can cut the mustard. Otherwise, his photo's going to go on down on the ground, okay? But since our shows are archived and he's making statements that he got to live with, if you have more questions and you'd like to call in, feel free. We're going to be playing our quick commercial right now. And I got to come back because we worked on this commercial, and I think you guys need to hear it. So, engineer, go ahead and play the commercial, and I'll be ready to rejoin back. I guess it was a minute and a half. Anyway, let me know. Play the commercial for me, please. You know, our shows are being brought to you by some really, really fabulous sponsors, and you need to go to our website page and see at grassroots-talks.com. Now, here's what you're going to find. HBO, CBS. How about since you're on the internet, you probably have your own website. Now, if you would like to boost your hits instead of the tens, well, hundreds, how about to the thousands per month? You need to go ahead and click on to that button that's on that page, and then you can start making sales, because right now I'm sure that you having your own website is not because it's a hobby, okay? And we can really help you out there, so go ahead and click that button. All right. Well, hopefully if y'all think that y'all can do this better than me, I have no problem with that. If you want to be a host today, just go ahead and either write me at grassrootstalks1@gmail.com, and I'll help you try to do what you got to do. If you think that you have something to say, say it. You know, many people complain, but very few people step up. I wrote a book called Life Through the Yards. Some of you folks might need to order that. And if you write me for the first 10 callers, I'll give it to you guys for free. If not, then it's a whole different story. But if you write me today and say that you listened to the show and you know who our host was, I'll give that book away for free. Now, I have five basic principles. And first one is self, being true to yourself. You know, it's a lot of phony people out there. The second one is family. Know the importance and the contribution that your family has done to prepare you for adulthood. Community. Many people complain in the community, but very few people step up. Knowledge. Have enough knowledge to navigate your way through life. Everybody's not suited to go to college. That's unrealistic, okay? And then the last one, faith. You heard our host. Dare to have faith in something greater than yourself, because even though you put a whole lot of faith in man, man cannot do what we're doing here today without the grace of God. So you better ask somebody if you don't know. And if you think that it ain't no God, go ahead and shut off this thing called breathing and try to find another source other than God, because he gave it to you. Hello. All right. Now, I'm going to play a little word game with you. And the word game is all about not trying to catch you off guard, but this is not where it's the canned speech that comes in. because it's a one-word answer. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Okay. Life.
Hope.
I'm sorry. Hold on. Life.
Hope.
Freedom.
Now.
Leadership.
Yesterday.
Our people.
Believe.
Watts.
Beautiful.
Politicians.
Need change.
Okay, okay. You're doing pretty good. I'm only halfway through. Are you ready?
Need change is gonna hurt.
Money.
Need more of it.
You notice this is turning into a sentence. I'm trying not to ask you this, but let me pause on that because I'll come back to my word game. Are you a politician?
I'm a Christian.
Are you a politician?
I believe I'm a Christian leader. I think a Christian leader can be political by nature. A Christian leader can be a prophet or a preacher. It just depends on if you have a pulpit or if you have a gavel or if you're at City Hall. I think what stays true in every instance is the Christian values in which you lead from. So, again, I don't really consider myself. My wife came up with the slogan, I'm a Christian, not a politician. So I won't answer that question.
I love it. You already did. This is good. Now, I'm not putting a negative spin, but hopefully you'll understand how I'm saying this. If you don't win, then what about what? What's going to happen?
Well, that's why I think it was important speaking with Devin in biometrics. We don't have to wait. I was at this event. Congresswoman Bass held a town hall for young leaders. And it was interesting. I spoke with a lady there and I looked at her and I said, you know, you don't have a name tag, but it seems like there's something very important about you. She said, I work at DreamWorks. I said, well, I need 15 internships for the Watts area, for San Pedro, for Wilmington. And she said, I'll be working on that for you. I said, I need them like in 2 weeks. The things that I am committed to doing, again, we don't have to wait to be a council member in order to bring about change. November 9th will determine the winner, and I believe that winner is me. But in the meantime, every week as we pass, we are going to have training. We're going to have resume workshops. We're going to have the things that are going to empower our people. Because when I know I did my job campaigning, is that when we are having our victory party, we will have 10 entrepreneurs in there saying, I just created 3 jobs apiece. We got somebody in there who said, the Lord placed on my heart to start a nonprofit, and I'm going to start it. That's how we're going to get to job creation. When we have the union workers saying we're fighting for health care and we won, that is a victory. And that's what I plan on making sure that we bring about and bring into a reality on November 8th and November 9th, the day after.
Well, it's clear you are already a leader. As far as the tag politician, I'm glad that you kind of just let people know, no, there's a whole lot more to you than putting you in that box, because you are so far of thinking outside that box. It's really, really, really refreshing. I'm going to go back to a couple more words before I hit you with our last piece here. Radio.
World.
Media.
Important.
You think so? Why so? Why is that?
We have to understand that the new 21st century media, and that's social media, that's the news, that's newspapers, it's readapting and redefining itself. And if we get involved in this process, we can determine how it speaks. And I think that if we continue to do what we're doing in holding our journalists, our radio personalities accountable, they will give us the truth. We won't have the media of the Bush era who spin and spin so that they can perpetrate propaganda. What we have to do is that when you allow YouTube, I think that was one of the greatest inventions, because you allowed us to give a video media to our voice and our passions. So if we're unsatisfied with the way something's being presented, we can do it ourselves. Podcasts on iTunes. If you're unsatisfied with your radio stations, you can create it yourself. So I believe media is important. We have to be able to understand that back in the days before there was any writing, how we got our information, our stories, and our history was through spoken word. So that is our power, and that's what we have to understand. The Lord said the power of life and death is in our tongue. So it is important.
Okay. Now, You know a lot of young people in Watts. You are totally connected. Have you ever been pulled over by the police?
In the last 2 years, I think I've been pulled over 8 times.
For what? DWI? Or was you holding?
You know, I have a 1972 Ford Ranchero.
That's a bus in itself.
So for some reason, I get these fix-it tickets.
Wait a minute. Did you just say you drive a bucket?
It's a 1972. It's not a bucket. It's a classic. It's a 1972 Ford Ranchero. Okay. I love that car.
Right.
It's my great uncle.
Okay. All right. Okay.
But again, I think what happens is, and again, there's two-pronged approach to this. One, I understand that even if you look at the statistics, sometimes one out of three people that get pulled over tend to have a gun or something illegal in their cars. However, that's not what bothers me. What bothers me is that the other two out of that three didn't have anything. And what they were due for that split second, they were criminalized or interrogated or asked if they were on parole. I say that to say, when you talk about building relationships, when you talk about the transference of information, and you need these same very people you pulled over in order to crack a case or solve a mystery, these are the same ones who develop a relationship and say, I don't know if I trust you. So we need to go back to policing like it was back in the day when I started collecting basketball cards and football cards. You have to have more than an excuse. It's just like a parent. When the parent beats you because you came and broke the curfew, afterwards, they feed you the next morning and they love you the next morning. It has to be a love and a discipline relationship. We understand you have to do your job and you were paid to do your job. And I want you to do your job. However, you have to be able to keep on the progress of playing basketball with the community, giving out basketball cards, having a different reason to pull over. What about pull them over and say, you know what? I'm not going to tell you to pull up your pants. I just want to say you look nice today.
And that's a really nice 1972 car you're driving.
It's getting fixed.
But, you know, that was a very sensitive issue, and I think our officers need to walk the streets of the community, get out the car, and just hang out with folks sometime instead of pull up on them and jack them. People like Redman, I'm going to comment on him today because I adapted him as a protege. Extremely raw, but real. I don't think he knows how to be phony because it just ain't his makeup. But those are the type of people that you're dealing with in Watts and representing, because at the end of the day, he stands for something, encouraged to want to be something. And I think for a young man like you to be such an inspiration, you're very much aware of your walk and not only just the car you drive, right? Why am I bugging this man about his car? Yeah, you know what? I know you're not going to be able to use none of the money to help with your fix your car, okay, because we don't want to have you pulled over. We'll run a separate campaign for the young people to help you get that, to get the fix-its done, okay? All right, now. Anyway, listen, this has been a joy, and as you can see, the young man, he's got a sense of humor, and sometimes if you can't laugh, you are really, really twisted. Let me see. I got Deborah on the line just before we get ready to close out for the day. Deborah, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Well, how are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful, and yourself?
I'm great. I'm just delighted that you called. I don't have a clue of why you did, but if you could clue me in and tell me what's inspired you today or made you make that move, share with us.
You know what really made me call? I've heard your interview with Justin Brimmer, and I was totally, totally impressed. And I want to know, as an ordinary citizen, what can I do to volunteer or get involved in this campaign?
Deborah, I just want to first start off by saying I love you. I love you already.
And thank you.
And that's important because, again, we have to build this coalition of everybody. And on Friday, we have our San Pedro campaign kickoff. On Saturday, we are having our Harbor Gateway campaign kickoff office. Again, these are offices, and we're working on getting our Watts. So we're having an office, campaign office, from the bridge to the towers. So if you go to our website at justinbrimmer.com, that's JustinBrimmer.com, right there you will have a list of events and ways of getting involved.
Wonderful, wonderful.
We need you to make phone calls. We need you to go door to door, hold up signs, put a sticker or a banner on your car. We just, you know, donate $5, donate $10. Again, there's so many ways. But again, I think what you hit the key, the nail or the head.
The head on the nail
is important.
Another thing, I am just really, really exuberated with your youth and your energy. But, you know, when people say, you know, he's too young, he has no experience in this, and I just want to know how to answer something like that, because I've been arguing back and forth with my friends, because I was like, oh, my God, this candidate is wonderful, and he's amazing, and he's a breath of fresh air. So I just want to know exactly what do I tell them?
Well, Deborah, there's a couple of things. One is this. There will be no Han family if there wasn't a Kenneth Han at 26 who ran for city council. What we have to understand is that today they have made 25 young, but back in the day, we were married on average at 19 and 20. By 25, most people bought their first homes. When you look at our generation, it shouldn't be that they're too young. It should be what is happening that's making us too late. I think what we have to understand is that I graduated at the age of 20. I've been in the working force for the last 5 years. I went from being a part-time person, being in charge of donuts and coffee at the office on 103rd and Compton Avenue, moving my way all the way up to handling the legislative agenda of Councilwoman Janice Hahn. When we talk about experience, when we talk about how to read the fine print and how to develop the legislation and building coalition with other council members, I do that. When you talk about being on the field and getting potholes filled and getting alleys cleaned, I've done that. I think what we have to do is that with any of these candidates and with anybody, with every vote you make, you are taking a risk. That is, I'm not going to deny that. But we have to understand this, is that it is a new day. Our district is 60% under the age of 34. Our district is 70% African-American and Latino. So when we talk about what's at stake, we are the generation that has to inherit the mess that is going on in City Hall and in Washington, D.C. So we have to be at the decision table. Again, I understand, and my vision is big enough for every person and every family. But again, I think it's crazy for people to think that we're old enough at 18 to go give our lives and sometimes in certain cases die in Iraq. But yet we're not old enough to serve on council. So you tell them this, that one, when Jesus started, he was young. When you look at the history, they said he was too young. When you look at the history of Alex Padilla, he was 26. Roz Wyman, who was a L.A. city councilwoman, 22 years old. When you look at Kenneth Hahn, who was probably one of the greatest L.A. city politician that we have ever known, was 26. We have to do this today. We cannot hope for these next people to hold a town hall and hope they get it, because we understand what happens when this generation's not engaged and not employed.
So, well, Mr. Brimmer, you have my vote, and I will jump on your website right away. And I just think more people should just get up and get involved in politics, because if we sit back and watch the parade go by, that's all we're doing. And we can't sit down and gripe and complain about, you know, what's not being done if we don't act on it.
Wow. Deborah, thank you very much. And speaking on act on it, I'm going to act on a couple of things because we're getting ready to close off the show, and I want to make a personal invite to get Mr. Brimmer back on the show. You folks remember to visit his website. Oh, Deborah, do you have a Facebook?
Yes, I do.
You got any friends?
Well, you know what? I can look you up and befriend you, okay?
Okay.
And all right.
I'd love it if you let your friends know what we are doing out here, okay?
Oh, don't worry. I'm going to tell everybody about it.
Thanks a lot for joining our show. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes our broadcast for Grassroots Talks. On behalf of What's Up Radio, especially Mr. Brimmer, Councilman Brimmer, get used to it, and all the kids out there that we're trying to help you on your transition from childhood to adulthood. This is your host, Showtime. Y'all have a good day.